The Enduring Church of God presents Charles E. Bryce, bringing you a straightforward message on the abundant life and the good news of the kingdom of God.
Hello, everyone. We're going to continue through the series of programs on the seven laws of success that we've been going through. So today we're going to pick up with number 4 and number 5. I want to read from the booklet written by Mr. Herbert W. Armstrong about the fourth law of success. He says here on page 27, a person may have chosen his goal. Having it may have aroused tremendous ambition to achieve it. He may have started out educating and training himself for its accomplishment. He may even have good health and still make little or no progress toward its realization. After all, success is accomplishment. It is doing. They say any old dead fish can float downstream, but it takes a live one to swim up. An inactive person will not accomplish. Accomplishment is doing. Now comes an all-important law. The fourth success law, then, is drive. Half-hearted effort might carry one a little way toward his goal, but it will never get him far enough to reach it. You will always find that the executive head of any growing, successful organization employs drive. He puts a constant prod on himself. He may feel drowsy and hate to awaken and get up in the morning, but he refuses to give in to this impulse. And then he continues over here on page 28 from this booklet, The Seven Laws of Success. Often workmen never rise above whatever job they may have because they have no drive. They slow down, work slowly, poke around, sit down, and rest as much as they can. In other words, they must have a boss over them to drive them or they would probably starve. They would never become successful farmers, for a farmer to succeed must get up early and work late and drive himself. That is one reason so many must work for others. They cannot rely on themselves. They must be driven by one of more energy and purpose. Without energy, drive, constant propulsion, a person need never expect to become truly successful. Well, that is an all-important law that helps to lead to success, the fourth law of drive. It takes determination and grit and enthusiasm that actually is infectious. It's picked up by other people around you when you have that kind of drive. You energize the committee. You energize the crew. You energize whoever you are around when you have that kind of drive. There's energy and zeal involved in this approach. Rising to the challenge with zest and audacity. Someone who has drive is a self-starter, a go-getter. He's dynamic, or she is dynamic, unstoppable. Now, of course, the individual can be quiet. It doesn't mean that they are a loudmouth and obnoxious individual. They simply have determination and drive and cannot be stopped. They are relentless toward achieving what they've set out to accomplish. I want to turn to a scripture that says this and puts this in biblical language quite well. It's over here in Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 10, a verse you may have heard quoted before, but keep it in mind in terms of talking about this law of drive, this law of success. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 10, it says, "Whatsoever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave where you go." In other words, what that's saying is, if you've decided to do something, you've decided to set a course for your life, you've decided to take on a project or a job, plunge into it and give it everything you've got. Do it with drive and vitality and zeal and energy. You've heard the old saying, the early bird gets the worm. Quite often that's very true. This is someone who gets up early and gets on the job and really does everything he does or she does everything she does with all of her might. This individual works hard. It's like they're on a mission to accomplish something. And as I've said before, these laws apply spiritually as well as physically. You just have to think it through and apply it in whatever situation you're taking a look at. Now, the attitude of someone who has drive to accomplish and achieve is the opposite to the attitude some people have about just, take it easy. What's all the fuss about? Slow down. Just let it slide. Drift along. Easy does it. Easy come, easy go. An individual like that will not accomplish a great deal in their life because they don't really fully engage in what has to be done. They're not driven to accomplish and achieve the goal that they've set for themselves. They are too laid back and casual in their approach. I don't mean it has to be a frenzied effort. I do not mean that you have to be fanatical. That's not the point. But there is a determination and a full-fledged engagement, an attitude of drive toward whatever the goal is that must be there in order to achieve the ultimate success that can come to the individual. Without that, and instead of that, having the laid-back attitude simply allows rust and corrosion to set in, and it allows for the individual who has set out to achieve something to rationalize and to excuse and to slow down and back off short of achieving that, because we don't want to get too serious about this after all, or let's don't get too involved in this. Just take it easy and we'll eventually get there. Those people get passed up and quite often never get there, quote unquote, in terms of accomplishment and in terms of their goal. I want to turn also to another verse in the Bible over here in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 26 and verse 13. This describes people who are lazy, and you can be lazy-minded as well as lazy in action. Really, when you think about someone who is lazy, it starts with the thought process. It starts with an attitude. Look what the Bible says here in Proverbs chapter 26 and verse 13 regarding this. It says, "The slothful man says there is a lion in the way. A lion is in the streets." In other words, he's come up with an excuse. You've heard people come up with excuses about not going to work or not getting to work on time, or when they get to work, not working while they're there. I've seen it many, many, many times. It's, "I heard here," or "I'm not being treated well there," or "I hate this job," or "I wish I were somewhere else," or "Why do I have to do this? Why doesn't someone else have to do it?" And here's a real excuse. "Well, I'm not going out there. There's a lion in the street." Or, "The weather's too bad." Or, "The construction is in the way." Or, "The traffic is too tough." Or, "It's too dangerous," and so on and so forth. That's just what that's talking about here in verse 13 of Proverbs 26. "The slothful man says, there is a lion in the way, a lion is in the street." Verse 14. "As the door turns upon his hinges, so does the slothful upon his bed." What a description. You know, the door is on hinges and it creaks and squeaks, but it's not going anywhere. It's just attached to the door facing and it turns back and forth, and slowly, and it makes a noise, and it's kind of an irritating sound. And there he is, just turning back and forth upon his bed, and never managed to get up and get going. Verse 15, "The slothful hides his hand in his bosom. It grieves him to bring it again to his mouth." I mean, how embarrassing is that? They're so lazy, they can't even bother to get themselves some food, and if they do get themselves some food, can't even bother to manage to eat it without griping or complaining or blaming others. "The sluggard," verse 16, "is wiser in his own conceit than seven men that can render a reason." Oh, I've heard all of those excuses, and I've heard all those rationalizations, and some of them are very plausible, but just because something is plausible doesn't mean it's true or accurate or worthwhile. So Proverbs 26:13 through 16 describes a lazy, indolent, useless individual. The attitude of "let somebody else do it." That individual will never succeed in reaching their full potential. They settle for less. They fully and totally involve themselves in the mediocre approach to life. They achieve mediocrity at best, if they even achieve that. And then they wonder why everybody else succeeds and they don't. And the reason is they're lazy and they don't have initiative and determination and interest and the drive to get it done, even if it's painful, even if they don't feel like it, and even if it's unpleasant. The outcome is worth the effort. That's the difference between someone who succeeds and someone who doesn't in this matter of this fourth law of success. and that is having drive. Now let's turn back over here to page 28 of this booklet and pick up what Mr. Armstrong has to say about the fifth law of success. He says here, one might suppose that if he had a goal and with it the ambition to achieve his purpose, if he then became trained, educated, and experienced in pursuing it, kept in good health, and constantly drove himself relentlessly toward his objective, that he would be bound to accomplish it. Important as these four laws are, they are not enough. Life constantly encounters hazards, obstacles, unexpected problems, or setbacks. You may be proceeding along right on schedule when, bang, out of nowhere comes an unexpected complication. Some sudden circumstance arises which seems to stop you completely, or at least set you back. So, to meet these constantly arising problems, you must have resourcefulness. When complications, obstacles, unexpected circumstances appear to block your path, you must be equipped with resourcefulness to solve the problem, overcome the obstacle, and continue on your course. The Old Slow Train Through Arkansas, that was the title of a book which he says he read years ago, encountered a cow laying across the tracks ahead. The train could not proceed toward its destination until that obstacle was removed. I learned a lesson in determination and resourcefulness on my first visit to Niagara Falls. It was on December the 25th, probably 1913, with a silver thaw. I strolled out on Goat Island, which divides a river just above the falls. At one point, there was a huge rock. It appeared as an impassable barrier to that rapid-flowing river racing to its destination. Down over the falls, into the rapids below, and onto Lake Ontario. I watched intrigued. Did the rushing water stop, quit, give up? Not on your life. I was thrilled as I watched the water swirl around the huge boulder, splash on over it, even find a hole through it, dashing, crashing, roaring on toward its goal. The IBM people used to put out a famous card found in many offices which says, think. And sometimes they deliberately spell it T-H-I-M-K, THIMK. In other words, will you notice the difference? Will you think about it? He goes on to say, when sudden emergencies arise, then of all times you need a clear mind, calm nerves, rapid thinking, and sound reasoning, it's then. You need resourcefulness. You need a cool head to quickly get all the facts and make a wise decision. Do you keep calm in emergencies, or lose your head and go to pieces? Do you think rapidly, yet clearly and logically, or do you freeze up and go dead? To succeed, you need to cultivate the ability and the habit of remaining unexcited, yet leaping to action on high tension, reaching the right decision, and then acting on it. And that's all a part of the fifth law of success called resourcefulness. So often when we come up against a barrier or a brick wall or an impassable problem, we just shut down. We feel defeated and intimidated. And so therefore then, we have come a long way up to that point and then we quit, we give up. We don't think a way through it, over it, around it. And therefore we don't succeed. And that's the point he's making here. We cannot be defeated. We cannot be intimidated. We cannot quit when we face that kind of thing. We have to use resourcefulness and find a way around or through or over or under the problem so we can keep on our path toward our goal or keep on the path successfully toward our objective. You've heard the old saying, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. Well, I mean, that's a good thing to keep in mind. Quite often you will find that's true. I've seen situations where the tougher it got, the tougher the people got. Not roll over and quit, but stand up and really get busy. That was their reaction, and that was their response to tough going. They steel themselves. They try harder. They involve creativity and innovation in their thinking. And you know what? So often, they figure a way through the problem, around the problem, over it or under it, and they never give up. They keep at it until they solve it. Quit is not in their vocabulary. There's another saying that has some merit to it, and that's this. He can who thinks he can. But you know, if you think you can't, you probably won't be able to. While we're here in this book of Proverbs, there's a scripture that bears on this particular topic and this particular subject and point. Let's turn here to Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 10. Proverbs 24 and verse 10. You know, God inspired this book, and he knows about life, he knows about human beings, he knows about success, he knows about problems. And look what he said here. If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. So that's the time when we need to be stronger, not weaker. A lot of people can look good and sound good and seem good when everything's just floating along with no problems. But throw in a little bit of trouble and throw in an unexpected crinkle and crimp the situation a bit, and they fall apart. They fall to pieces. Have you ever noticed people who, in a crisis, just fall to pieces? I've noticed people that handle it a different way. It's an amazing quality. I've noticed people that just seem like they're minding their own business and going their own way, and then when all of a sudden there is a crisis, they get much calmer. They start thinking much clearer. They're able to marshal action to solve the crisis. They don't fall to pieces. They become more alert, more lucid, more determined. Now, that's what we call resourcefulness. That's the law that is vital if we're going to succeed. The fifth law, the one that talks about figuring a way around the problem, through the problem, or solutions to the problem. Using resourcefulness. You might need to talk to somebody else about it. You might need to consider the options you have and settle on the best option you have. You might need to lay out a plan of action and put all of it together, and it could surprise you how what looked to be totally impossible turns out to be very possible. And you know what? It no longer is a problem because you figured out what to do about it. That's important, and that's a part of the path toward success. But if we look at it and say, man, I tell you what, this is too hot for me. It's time to cut and run. That's what it's saying here in verse 10 of Proverbs 24. If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. I'm getting out of here. Well, instead of that attitude, find a way to overcome the blockage and the obstacle. And do that not only physically, but spiritually. You might find yourself confused spiritually or discouraged or depressed. Don't quit. Don't give up. What might seem to be a problem that cannot be solved can be solved. God will help you solve it. Other people can help you. And you can overcome that, and you can get rid of that and replace it with something that's really worthwhile instead of something that is a negative habit or something that tears you down. What we have to do is rise and meet the challenge with drive and resourcefulness. If you do that, you're going to continue on your way toward success. Right here in Proverbs, I want to turn to another verse, Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 29. Here's the observation made there. It says in Proverbs 22 and verse 29, "Seest thou a man diligent in his business?" Here is someone who excels in his work or in her work. They're dependable. They're fully engaged. They're doing whatever they do with all their might. They're diligent. They are resourceful. You see someone like that, it says right here, "Seest thou a man diligent in his business? He shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before mean men." And the word there actually means obscure men. In other words, they're going to be successful. They're going to be achievers. There's going to be a high demand for them. People who have things to do and places to go and people to see, they're going to want that individual on their staff. They're going to want that individual working for them. They're going to want to do business with that person. You know why? Because they get things done. I've seen people who, when you go to them with a problem, they say, "I don't think that can be done," or "I don't have time for that," or "I'm not interested in that." Oh, yes, I've seen that happen on several occasions and in several situations. I've also seen the opposite happen. I've seen situations where you go with someone in a particular business or someone in a particular trade, and you say, "I can't find anybody to fix this. I can't find anybody to solve this. What can you do about it?" And they'll look and say, "Well, I've never seen that before, and I don't know what we'll do, but we'll figure out something. Come on in here and let's sit and talk. What do you want done about it?" "Well, we can do that, that, and that. I don't know about that, but we'll give it a shot." You know what happens? More than likely, that individual will take care of the problem for you. because their first reaction is, we're going to try to do something, not, I don't want to be bothered with it. And I'll tell you something else that happens when someone runs their business like that. Probably they're going to have more business than they can handle. It doesn't matter what kind of business they might be in. If they are serving the public and they have a commodity the public needs, or they have a skill to fix things that people need in their lives, and they have the attitude of, oh, I don't care how much business I get, or I don't care what kind of work I do, or I don't want to really do that much today, so no, we can't handle it, or we're backed up, or we'll call you later, or I don't have the capacity or the tools to handle that, you'll find that that business does not flourish, it does not thrive, it does not succeed. But you have someone in business who's honest and someone who is a people person, and they walk through the door with something that is not cookie cutter. It is not, you know, just standard. It takes some innovation, some creativity. It takes somebody who is interested in solving the problem, and he's got the ability to be resourceful and to come up with something that maybe has never been come up with before, and will do it, and do it in a fair way, charge a fair price. You will see that individual very, very busy. I've seen that in our own case. I have gone to various repair shops, for instance, with something that's broken on a vehicle, and you can't get the part at the factory, and you can't get the part in the local parts store. The part doesn't exist that's needed for that. And they will take a look at it. They will figure out what the problem is. They will figure out what needs to be done. They will fabricate a part, and they will keep on working at it until that part fits exactly where it needs to fit, and now the vehicle or the trailer or the motor just hums along because they used resourcefulness. And really, I'm thinking of one instance where a man in that line of work did that, and the part he made was better than you could buy anywhere else. Well, where do you think I took all of our business after that? And where do you think I referred everybody else to that I knew after that? It's to that individual who has that attitude of, I can do it, and I'll give it the best I can give it. Let's figure out a way. He had that drive, he had that resourcefulness, and he got results, and the business poured in. See, this applies right across the board. It doesn't matter what you set out to do. You might be traveling, and you come down a road that's closed. What do you do now? Quit and go home? No, you figure out a way to get around the bridge that's out. You may have to double back and go another way, but you keep on going. You maybe need to check with somebody else. It's true in our spiritual lives. You may be reading through the Bible and you get to a particular chapter in the Bible and you just don't know what that means. It just doesn't make sense. It looks like it's contradicting other parts of the Bible. So you slam the Bible shut and say, I'm not going to read anymore. I'm just getting discouraged and I'm just getting confused. That's not what to do. You know what to do? Keep on reading through the Bible and get back to that chapter later. Check a few commentaries. Check a few Bible helps. Check with someone who knows what the Bible means. And you can find a little instruction over here and an explanation over there. Maybe it has to do with a Greek word here or a verse that will explain that verse over there. And first thing you know, instead of that chapter being confusing and instead of that chapter muddling your thinking, it opens up understanding that you never had before about the particular subject covered in that chapter. As I said, the seven laws of success apply right across the board in every facet of life, including physical matters and spiritual matters. Well, I want to conclude with some quotes from a man that I look up to highly and that I've read a lot about, and I've read a lot of what he's written. You know, in history and in life, there are men and women that are bona fide heroes. It's getting to be hard to find them now, but if you look hard enough, there's still a few around. It seems like used to, there were more heroes. And one that I think was a hero, and I certainly learn from him and read him often, was Theodore Roosevelt. I want to read a few quotes from him and show how he understood about the seven laws of success, or at least six of the laws for sure. And he understood about drive and resourcefulness. This first quote is from a speech he gave at the Sorbonne in Paris, April 23rd, 1910. And this is what he said. This is one of the most famous quotes known today. He says, "It is not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles or where the doer of deeds could have done better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs and comes up short again and again, because there's no effort without error or shortcoming, but who knows the great enthusiasms, the great devotions, who spends himself for a worthy cause, who at the best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who at the worst, if he fails, at least he fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who knew neither victory nor defeat." Now, that entire paragraph merits thought. It merits reading and rereading. It merits considering the tremendous principles that Theodore Roosevelt brings out there. And if you take time to study it and to consider it and to read it and reread it, you will see that right in those words are these two laws of success that we've been discussing here today. The law of drive, the law of push, the law of engagement with all your heart, and then the law of resourcefulness. Figure a way to solve the problem and continue on your path toward the objective. That has to be there for a successful life and for a successful individual who keeps on going toward fulfillment of his full potential. Would you like to know more about happiness and success in life? Write for our CDs on true success. They are free. We will send you these CDs on the 7 Laws of Success by return mail. You'll discover that there is a cause for every effect. You'll learn what to do to bring about true success in your life. Also ask for our free magazine, Straightforward, and we'll mail that to you as well. There's no charge or subscription price. Just send your request to Enduring Church of God, Post Office Box 1317, Chandler, Texas, 75758. You can also call our toll-free number at 1-800-581-1317. That's 1-800-581-1317. Or you can go to our website at straightforward.org. Until next time, this is Charles Bryce with the Enduring Church of God.
For more information, you may write to Enduring Church of God, P.O. Box 1317, Chandler, Texas, 75758, or visit our website at straightforward.org.